Well, here we are in our Bible study segment, ladies. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up to 1 Samuel. And our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert, is here. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Hey there. I'm glad to be here. We're going to pick back up today. And remember, Saul has just routed the Philistines. That Jonathan went across the field, he and his armor bearer, and God handed the Philistines into the hand of the Israelites. And we're going to see what happens next, because Saul's not done making mistakes for this day. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Samuel chapter 14, verses 24 through 30. And the men of Israel had been hard pressed all day. So Saul had laid an oath on the people, saying, "Cursed be the man who eats food until it is evening, and I am avenged on my enemies." So none of the people had tasted food. Now when all the people came to the forest, behold, there was honey on the ground. And when they entered the forest, behold, the honey was dropping, but no one put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan had not heard his father charge the people with the oath, so he put out the tip of the staff that was in his hand and dipped it in the honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes became bright. Then one of the people said, "Your father strictly charged the people with an oath, saying, 'Cursed be the man who eats food this day.'" And the people were faint. Then Jonathan said, "My father has troubled the land. See how my eyes have become bright because I tasted a little of this honey? How much better if the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies that they found. For now the defeat among the Philistines has not been great." Okay, here we have more evidence of Saul's self-centered, self-glorying heart. He was mad, and he wanted revenge on his enemies. So he punished his own men, trying to get them to work harder. Telling your army going into battle, "Hey, no eating," not the greatest idea. If they don't eat, and they are in battle, expending a bunch of energy, they're going to be exhausted quickly. That's just common sense. And remember, this was hand-to-hand combat. Saul wants so badly to avenge himself on his enemies that he perhaps thought he was giving the army an incentive to finish him off quickly so they could eat. This was a complete and utter failure. There are at least three ways where Saul sins as the king and the leader here. First of all, Saul was supposed to be fighting for God, not for his own agenda. But his motive is clearly laid out to avenge himself on his enemies. Second of all, he's making no friends in the army by not allowing them to eat and fortify themselves for the battle. Saul didn't contribute to the victory. He was a hindrance to it. He wasn't leading them by serving and caring for the needs of his men. He was leading with an iron fist, and he damaged his men that day. Thirdly, Saul tries to bring God into this nonsense, too, by using that oath, "Cursed be the man." He's claiming that God will curse the men for eating. Saul was right about one thing. God would ultimately be the judge of the human actions in regard to this oath. So we see that instead of serving the cause of God and his people, Saul was becoming a king like all the other nations had. The Israelites were seeing what their request for a king really got them. Saul had his army obeying by fear, even invoking in them the fear of God with that oath, not out of respect or love for their leader. They didn't respect their leader or their king when he caused such hardship for them as they tried to fight for God and for Israel. We get to see more of Jonathan's character here too, which is always interesting to me. The more we see of Jonathan, the more we will see that he is not like his father. Now, we can debate whether Jonathan should or shouldn't have said anything criticizing the oath his father made, but the comment he made was true. His father caused extra unnecessary hardship on the men. Jonathan also recognizes that his father has not only brought hardship against the soldiers, but against the whole country by making this so difficult for them to fight. If they lost the battle from weakness and hunger, the whole country would suffer for it, not just the army. Not to mention the result that Saul's oath was already having on the morale and abilities of the men. Jonathan knows the oath his father made was wrong, and that the day's battles could have gone even better for Israel had Saul not bound the men with such a ridiculous oath? His comment, "Not the defeat among the Philistines, but the defeat among the Philistines has not been great," was true. By not allowing the men to eat the whole day, as the men routed the Philistines, they didn't stop to eat any of the food that the Philistines left behind. Even as they routed them, how much more would they have pursued their enemies and engaged them in battle if they'd been allowed to eat? Jonathan is refreshed here by simple honey. How much better would it have been if the men had actually eaten actual provisions throughout the day? How much more refreshed would they be? Saul's goal to avenge himself on his enemies would have been better served by allowing the men to eat instead of forbidding them to do so. But he was blind to that because of his own ambition. Saul gives us a perfect example here of why we need to keep our eyes on God's goals, not our own. Saul didn't get it. He really didn't. He didn't understand that seeking God and his will would not only bring the victory, but would also bring Saul closer to God, which is what his goal should have always been. But Saul wanted God's stuff. He didn't want God. He wanted what God could give him. He didn't desire a relationship with God. He didn't care about the things that God cared about. Saul sought to be impressive in the eyes of men. And we do that too. Do we make ridiculous oaths and bring hardships on ourselves and others because we don't ask God for his help and guidance? I've found that when I ask God's will before acting, not only do things go so much better than when I don't seek his will, but I also have peace through the whole thing because I know I'm not in control. I'm not the one on the line for this. I'm not anxious over what is going on. I'm able to let him work and trust him to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. It's not easy to do this, but letting go of myself and my selfish desires is always better in the end. For me and for everyone else around me, too. When I'm not pushing my own agenda, I'm less stressed and much more able to go with the flow of where God is leading me. So today, I just ask everyone to think about the rest of your day, or the day that you have coming up tomorrow. Have you talked to God about getting you through the day, or do you have your to-do list that's all important? We have to start taking a more active look around us and realizing how much more we have to die to ourselves to give all glory and honor to him. You may find that God has a completely different plan for your day, and if you aren't ready to surrender it right now, think about the stress and the anxiety that you'll experience as you go through the day. He may have your day so different. He may not. But you will be amazed at what a different day you have when you've not only invited God into your day, but have given it to him to direct.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.